From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair. And wow, we're intruding on your time yet again, Ying Liu, recently back from the 2024 Women's Summit. I sure appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to share anything and everything I learned. There was a lot of learning that happened.
So I really want to have a recap with you from what the Women's Summit was like. I know you've already come back and you've shared some of the knowledge that you gained from Women's Summit with some of the instructor staff at Meadows.
Right. I mean, we really focused on, from a skiing perspective, on steering that inside ski for the entire 3 days. And upon thinking about it and preparing for my level three teach exam, I just realized how applicable it is to so many different people, depending on and kind of irregardless of where their challenges are. So I took a couple women out yesterday and offered to run them through a quick little clinic. And it, I mean, you could see the change in their skiing immediately, which is amazing. And I think for me, the difference between, like, at least in my experience, the national level clinicians is that me as a, you know, regular instructor, I know what I need to change in a student's skiing and I'll tell them, but at that level, they're able to get you to feel it. And I think that's really important. And so I need to up level my getting them to feel it skills.
So I would love to hear the feedback that you got from the skiers that you were training with your new information. I mean, that's really exciting to bring something back and get some just immediate response.
Absolutely. One of the feedback was one of them was training for her level two, another one was training for her level three, and for the level two, just focusing on the pivot slips and how the feedback was to really have a planted heel so you can steer your forefoot in the turn initiation, and even kind of finishing with a bit of a heel schmear, especially with that inside ski, allows you to just be really nimble and centered on the skis. And it, I think that specific feeling that she got from the falling leaf exercise really helped cement a I think several other feedback that she had heard from different clinicians, just the idea of planting the heel so you can pivot the forefoot.
Interesting. Well, give us, if you don't mind, please, a little quick summary of each day, just to give us a feel of what it was like at the summit.
Yeah. So first day, well, first evening was the keynote with Pamela Lemons, who was really talking about Dare to Be Extra. And she had a lot of great key points. But I mean, I guess three that stand out for me is really going above and beyond to exceed, and that that accomplishments and success continues to bring more success. The second one, I mean, close to my heart, is just the idea of mentorship and how important that is to career progression. And then the third one was to really feed your energy with people who sustain your energy or, you know, improve your well-being and not the trainers. So I didn't think about kind of that, I guess, dynamic in terms of people that I spend time with.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was the first evening. The first full day, we skied with our groups, and we were really, I mean, I had the question I mentioned on the last podcast of how do you teach upper-lower body separation, and Momo was just really focused on getting students to perform these activities that automatically create that separation. And we touched on that throughout the next 2 days, depending on how the activity related to that particular comment. But I thought that was it was a really great progression. It clearly improved my group. And then in the evening, in the afternoon, there was a mentorship session around the importance of having a mentorship program for women, because there's evidence in the non-ski world that organizations that have a mentorship for women increase retention by 15 to 38%, which is huge. And there's all sorts of statistics around, you know, 70% of women want to mentor, or 10% only see themselves as a mentor. So there's just huge gaps in terms of the people who want mentorship, people who see themselves as mentors, and people who actually have mentors. And so we wanted to really increase the percentage of women who thought of themselves as a mentor by identifying what their superpowers are. And everyone has superpowers, things that come to you naturally that you don't think are, unique, but it actually adds a lot of value to people. And then Ann Shoreline had a Q&A around her InterCity presentation, and that was really interesting in terms of the discussion that came out around, what can we do to build more women-specific training at ski schools? Someone from the Canadian Ski Instructors Association also had this question around how do you build a business case essentially for investing in that women's training? And what we found was really important is that there's a lot of demand from the public in having women-specific clinics. And so we really have to train our female instructors on how to run those clinics differently and really cater to that female population. So I thought that was a really great way to kind of frame up the importance of investing in women instructors and women clinics and things like that. Second day, and I know I'm going a little bit long here, so feel free to cut me off. But the second day, we had a big powder day, and Murmur was really taking us into that powder, kind of the same idea of steering the ski, but we introduced the concept of retracting your inside knee, and then if needed, then retracting both knees as well into the turn initiation. So what I really liked about her approach was she focused on one fundamental, which is that rotation in kind of the upper body, but added in, you know, the other fundamentals as needed depending on how the terrain changed or what our objectives were. And then I attended her her presentation that evening, which is about stretching, knowing, respecting your limits, and the importance of really finding your point of failure and then backing off from it, knowing getting 98% to that 100% point of failure, but starting at 95% at the top of run, and then building up to 98% so that you have room to kind of increase your risk tolerance and push yourselves not all the way to the limit. And that 100% point of failure will move as you improve, as you develop your skills. So I thought that was a really interesting concept of you can't push yourself. You can't push the edge if you keep coming over the edge, if you keep going over the edge. So you have to get close to the edge so you can continue to develop and increase kind of where that edge is.
I really like that. Start at 95, push to 98, and then that's actually a really cool description. I like that, and I'm sorry my word was cool because I just off the top of my head couldn't think of another one right at the moment, but that is a really great description.
yeah, I love that. And she also talked about lower the task to increase the skill, which mm-hmm. is kind of obvious if you think about it, but you can, actually, I don't remember the opposite of it, but that one was interesting because, apparently with, you know, ed staff tryouts, people are asked to complete tasks on, you know, green terrain. And so you have to be really precise in how you move. And, that's a great way of also kind of teaching that defensive skiing, which I think was introduced that day.
Now, defensive skiing, what is that?
Yeah, so the difference between defensive skiing and offensive skiing is, as instructors, we typically think about teaching students how to ski faster, how to ski in more aggressive, challenging terrain, and that's not necessarily always the objective of the guest. If we're being student-centered, guest-centered, some of our students, and especially women, are not interested in going hard and charging down a mountain. They're actually just interested in getting down the mountain and having fun. And so that could mean teaching them to side slip so that they can get down anywhere that they're challenged. Or it could mean teaching them to ski the bumps in a really smooth, controlled way that's not fast, but still can look beautiful, which is actually what we worked on with Murmur as well.
Now, you also were telling me that you had discussed traditional roles in the ski and snowboard industry that typically have been kind of dominated by males, that you're getting a little different outlook on some of that. And I'm thinking specifically of ski technician, snowboard technician, boot fitters, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Carol Levine joined us, joined my group for the last day. She was kind of floating around throughout the 3 days and helping women with boot alignment. So she had a whole toolkit. It was amazing to see what she had around her neck, literally. But she had a toolkit to help us, feel differently. If we add a coin here, how does it change the alignment in our boots, and therefore does it help us release the edge easier? And I think that's the knowledge where, if you think about it, there aren't a lot of women who are boot fitters. And where I live in Portland, there's literally no female boot fitters. And I think that's interesting, because if you think about, traditional male-female roles within a household, men tend to be kind of the tinkers, people who are fixing the house and doing those things. And it seems to be translating into our industry, where I think there would really be a lot of benefit if more women were interested in these, you might call it traditionally masculine roles. But having the experience in a female body, in a boot, and also the kind of that expertise, knowledge, I think would add a lot of value to the boot fitting world. So would love to see more women technical people out there.
Now, what were some key takeaways that you came away with from this year's Women's Summit?
There was a lot. The point I mentioned about teaching defensive skiing to ease the fear versus kind of that offensive skiing was really a big thing for me. Obviously, skiing perspective is steering the ski. I really liked interacting with the Canadian Ski Instructors Association and kind of learning from them on all the progress they made around building community and building mentorship for women, and then having that dialogue around how can we work together and brainstorm ways to continue to promote that growth. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to attend the NSP toboggan, session. I think that would be really cool, just to know how different functions within the hill work so that we can work together better. I think that was a big takeaway from last year's Women's Summit too, is, oh, now that I know this is what Ski Patrol needs in case of an event, this is how I can help assist them, so that really we're working together as a team across organizations. And then the other key takeaway for me was the idea of adding to a student's repertoire versus fixing something, and kind of framing our teaching in that way, especially to those who may be a little bit more resistant to to feedback, or, you know, kids who might not want to listen? Like, how can we frame what we're teaching in a way that's really positive and helps them achieve their goals, and just giving them more tools rather than saying you're doing something wrong and here's what you do need to do to fix it?
In conclusion, I think of, you know, people that go away from the clinic for a convention and they get fired up and come back and it lasts for a little while and then you kind of get back to things being business as usual. How do you keep that excitement and momentum going that you've brought back with you from Women's Summit to round out this season and lead into next?
Yeah, there's some discussions, you know, just kind of passing by in the locker room around how can we use this information and also kind of engage the Women's Council more to address the gender equity topic. I think it was a really great wrap up of the event where we were asked to just kind of really take that inspiration also and spread it out. But I think overall, from to wrap up the Women's Summit, I think it's really important to also think about it from a ski school and a region perspective. And Rocky Mountain had started a mentorship program for women who were trying out for national team. And it's now expanded to the entire country, which is great. And so it's this idea of we need to have more grassroots initiatives around gender equity that really catches on when people see the results. The other example of this is in the Eastern region, they've created kind of this women development program. Funding was secured for this pilot, covering all costs, including lodging, and participants who were chosen would just be responsible for traveling to that event. And they're looking to expand that into a 4-year development program so that the next round of national trials, we have a larger pipeline of women. So I think there's ways to really continue to implement, whether from your own teaching, these learnings, or from what can I do to continue to encourage and mentor and also develop women at all levels of the organization. And I think that's really exciting.
Well, Ying, thank you so much for your time and sharing your experiences from the 2024 Women's Summit with us. And I look forward to intruding on your time in the near future to talk about mentorship.
Anytime. Thanks, George.
Ying Liu joining us on First Chair from the PSIA AASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon. I'm George Thomas.